Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, co-host Tone.
Good evening, boys.
Welcome back, Tone, and moderator AJ.
What up, boys?
We are all back in the studio. I don't know if you could tell by the quality. We had a virtual last week, but we're back in the studio this week. It's been a little bit. Happy to be back. Played a little around the world before the show. Just getting the blood flowing, and now we're here. So, real quick, we have week 6 on the NFL tap this week. We have our DraftKings, as always. And I think we have a quick little update. I think we did one last week on our NFL teams, on how the records are going. We did a little draft. We did 8 teams each. And this week, I think AJ has something read up for us on our prop bets update this week, just to kind of keep you guys going. We haven't figured out our punishment or our rewards yet. We're going to ask you guys shortly just to pick something, what we should be doing or what we should be receiving. And without further ado, AJ, do you want, I don't know what we do. Do we do the recap or do we do the button? Do you press the button?
Let's go ahead and recap last week's picks real quick before we get into a question. Yeah, you guys had another solid week of takes. Nate, 6 plays, 1 teaser, 5 single bets, had 9 units in play. Finished out the week 4-2, plus 5 units for the week. So, solid job, my guy.
Thank you.
Tone, we had 6 plays, 1 teaser, 5 single bets. We had 6 units in play. And came out with 3-3. No units gained, but no units lost. So, anytime you don't lose a unit, I'd say that's a pretty prosperous week, honestly. So, good job on that. Luck It In's, we had 3 plays, 3 straight bets, 3 units in play. And Luck It In went 2-1. Plus 1 unit. The Rams minus 5.5 really sold the bag, really let us down. Just a disappointing showing by the Rams last week. But all in all, pretty successful week for the boys. What did you guys think about week 5?
It was a fun one. We had a few blowouts, like the 49ers and the Jets, who blew the Dolphins out in the fourth quarter. They were playing their third string quarterback. I was mainly happy that my Vikes got another win. I was telling you guys last week they should be top 5 in power rankings. And
congratulations.
I think ESPN and a couple other power rankings finally saw it. I think they put them up the top 5, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a wild weekend. I mean, it started off, I guess Thursday was very underwhelming. Started off with the Colts and the Broncos. Stinky game. What do we have? 21 combined points, something along those lines.
Zero touchdowns.
Shout out to the bettor that took no touchdowns in that game.
Someone, what was the odds?
Something crazy. So it might have been like plus 10,000, probably even worse than that, but or better, I guess, if you're him. But then we had the London game. Started off with some suspense. I mean, the Packers came out, looked like they were going to take control. Went up 20-10, halftime. Came out underwhelming in the second half. Packers only scored 2 points. They got a safety in the fourth quarter, but they ended up losing to the Giants 27-22, which was a pretty interesting way to kind of start the NFL slate off. And it was just war from there on out. I mean, the Browns lost another game because not a number of things, but again, they're giving up points when they should take them, and they lost by less than a field goal. Second week in a row.
Yep.
Ooh. You have Nate's Vikings who won. That was pretty cool. You had the Jets really came out in the fourth quarter and blew the doors off of Nate's number 5 team, the Dolphins.
Yeah, injuries.
That is true. So, unfortunately, Chetty Bridgewater did go out. So, we had Skyy Thompson come in, I believe. Skyler Thompson come in. And they ended up just getting blown out. So, that was kind of ugly. The Jaguars, 6 points at home, 2 field goals.
Yikes.
That man, Trevor Lawrence.
Stinky. So it was a fun week. The NFL was shaping up to be pretty interesting to me so far. I think it's kind of hard to get a grasp on some of these teams, unless you're my guy, Nate. So Nate's been killing it.
Yeah. On fire.
Yes.
So real quick, I did want to mention the NLOD is on a 5-game winning streak, so 5 straight weeks. It's and hot. That is all NFL. Not a single – the first week I put a college game on the NLOD. I lost. I quit college, and I think I found my niche. But remember last year I did have a really hot start. And then I just kind of went even for the most part rest of the year. I would get a unit here, lose a couple there. But in Tone, I'm just waiting because last year you had one of the craziest runs that I've seen in a long time. So – don't fade us, either of us, even though this week is pretty difficult.
It's a tough week, but collectively, every single week we've put out, if you take both of our bets put together, it's winners.
Oh, yeah.
So winning, very winning percentage. The luck and ends are now 2 and 3. So we're up a unit on that. And overall, I think we're doing pretty solid as far as a show goes. But that's the cool thing about us. It's the ebbs and flows of gambling. When you're up, I'm doing okay. When I'm doing good, you're still doing okay. So we figure it out and we'll keep grinding.
Never trash. We are never trash.
Absolutely. So through 5 week, our yearly totals, Nate's at 20 and 8, 71%. He's up plus 21 units.
Big
our guy Tone's at 14 and 13, 51%. He's up 1 unit. And our luck it in is at 4 and 2, 66%, plus 2 units. So yeah, I like you said, man, it's been prosperous every week thus far. We've been on the winning side. We've been green. So hopefully you guys are out there listening. And hopefully you're tailing. If you want to fade us, that's cool too. No big deal. So great job, guys. Good job week 5. I'm excited to see how you guys, who you guys take for week 6. We're going to recap our future props bets.
Wait, do you want to do, yeah, there it is.
Before we do that.
Press the fucking thing.
What did he say?
That's what did he say. And good job last week, guys. You guys got the what did he say to go up 3-2 versus D-Say. I like that our guy threw in a little baseball just to keep it relevant with our guy who almost had the triple crown. He was so close. But nonetheless, we're going to go back to football this week. And staying relevant, last week, our guy Taysom Hill, who is technically, quote-unquote, a tight end, he had 4 touchdowns.
Damn.
So that's what originally started this question. But not too long after that, our guy Travis Kelce also had 4 touchdowns in 1 game. So that led us to this week's What Did He Say? Who was the only tight end in NFL history to have 5 touchdowns in 1 game.
I got a decent
what
idea.
What did he say?
Yikes.
Shout out to our guy D-Say. As always, appreciate you throwing in those relevant, interesting questions. It's been posted to TikTok. If you listen, hopefully you're following our TikTok because we've been posting every day, season 3. Leave a comment in the answers. Let us know what you think the answer is. But moving on from that, we recapped our team draft last week. I'd say we're all 3 pretty close to even. I think I might have like a 1-game advantage out there thanks to some ties. But all in all, we were all pretty close. As far as the futures props bets go, I mean, we really won't know until the season's over. I figured why not recap that real quick and see where everyone feels like they're at, see how we're doing. This one, whoever comes in last is going to have to deal with the punishment. And we're going to go around the horn here and see how we're feeling. For me, guys, I mean, I want to let you know, I'm looking over mine personally. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling really great about where I'm sitting at. So my first one, I had Philadelphia Eagles to win division, plus 165. They're the only undefeated team in the NFL right now. That being said, they're only 1 game ahead in their division. So, I mean, that's not a lock, but I do like that play. I'm going to feel a lot better after they beat Dallas this week, obviously.
Right.
Number 2, I had Colts first, Titans second in division. I mean, I'm not feeling as great about it as I would like to, but currently Titans are first, Colts are second. I'm okay. It's early. Colts are going to get a win this week. Titans are on a bye. I'd like to see Colts tie the Titans for the top spot in that division. At third, I had Aaron Donald, defense player of the year at plus 300. That one's over. That's done. Micah Parsons absolutely has that locked up. Micah Parsons is minus 140 to win Defensive Player of the Year currently.
Wow.
Which is insane.
I can imagine that goes up or goes down, I guess.
Next closest is Joey Bosa at plus 1,000. Donald's currently at plus 1,200. So I don't feel great about my third option there. But rounding out my last two picks, guys. Highest scoring team, Buffalo Bills, plus 600. They're currently in first at 30.4 points per game. Next closest is Philly at 27. And then Josh Allen MVP, plus 700. He's currently in first at plus 170. Pat's second at plus 425.
Oh, wow.
So as far as my prop bets go, guys, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't think I'm going to be serving a punishment for probably the first time in show history. I'm always on the punishment side of the show. So I'm really excited to see what punishments we come up with and what one of the two of you are going to have to deal with. I can't wait to just watch and enjoy. But let me throw it over to you first, Nate. Take me 1 through 5 on your prop bets. Let me know where you Let me know where you stand on those.
Oh, well, we don't call him AJ the Jinx for nothing, so.
Right.
It's coming. So my first two are kind of one in the same. I got the Vikings to make the playoffs as well as them winning the division on my next one. To make the playoffs, minus 105. They're 4-1.
Feels like
they're
a lot.
They're cruising. And this NFC, I think so right now.
Okay.
And to win the division, they are plus 225. They got a two-game lead now over the Packers. One game, 4-1, 3-2.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Feels good.
I'm not mad at it. Then I got the Bengals to miss the playoffs at even odds plus 100.
That's feeling good.
Right now, yeah, they're 2-3, just lost to the Ravens, and they're in the tough AFC. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Okay.
I do have the Chargers to win the division, which,
oof.
I mean, they're 3-2, right?
It's early.
They're fine.
It's okay.
Chiefs, I mean, the Broncos have been stinky. The Raiders have been stinky. So I don't hate that.
Okay.
And I got my big one. Oh, I'm sorry. The Chargers were plus 225 to win the division. And my last one, my big guy.
The big boy.
The Ravens. Super Bowl champs plus 2,000. I'm sitting pretty on that right now. They're,
yeah, looks good.
Their defensive backs need to step up a little bit. They got two Pro Bowlers in Humphrey and Peters. So I expect them to play a little bit better. Their offense is doing wonders. Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson is one of the most dynamic duos in NFL right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not mad at mine whatsoever.
Okay. I like that. The Ravens, that's the big boy. Plus 2,000. I mean, if you hit that, no matter what, I mean, you come in first place. So, sweet.
I'll take second. That's,
yeah,
I mean,
second's cool.
Awesome.
I like first and second. So, Tone, let's see where you're at. Let's see how you're feeling about your prop bets. Take me 1 through 5, my guy.
I'm just at a loss for words. You know, I feel the same way I felt when we did the show, because I didn't fully understand the rules before we started. I thought we were trying to go for winning percentage. I didn't know we were trying to, like, maximize the money. So if you look, all my bets are close to even bets.
Okay.
It's just impossible for me to win. So first bet, I have the Raiders over 8.5 wins. Currently, they're 1-4.
Okay. All right.
Feel terrible about that. I mean, if you looked at the start of their season, they definitely could be 3-2.
Oh, yeah.
But
sure.
They're not. They're 1-4, so that's looking like it's pretty much dead. I can't see them winning 8 more games, but hopefully they do.
They could get hot.
The Titans have missed the playoffs. They're doing better than I thought, but that could come to fruition. We'll see how that plays out.
I like that.
The Packers under 10.5 wins. Didn't feel great about it to start the year, but I'm starting to feel a little better about
it. I like
it.
That.
They
don't look that great. I mean, they still have to play teams like the Eagles, the Cowboys.
The Vikings again.
The Vikings, the Rams, the Dolphins, the Lions twice, the Bills. I don't feel so bad about that one. I think that could definitely happen.
I like that.
I have the Miami Dolphins finish second in their division.
Love that.
A little bit of stuff going on with Tua and Bridgewater at this point, so hopefully they can get that straightened away. But that might be just what I need for them to not win the division.
Yeah, yeah.
And finish in second, so that could happen. That's
like
plus 175. And then I have the Dallas Cowboys to miss the playoffs, plus 230.
Okay.
I still don't feel terrible about it because the Eagles may have their division locked down.
Yeah.
So that means Dallas has to come through with a wild card spot. So,
right.
You know, I end up, maybe I will come in second place.
Yeah.
If I get three of these to win and Nate wins none.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
I think it's going to be a tough road for me.
Okay. All right.
I need one win. I just need the
Well, rules. I like it. I'm excited to see how it plays out. I mean, we'll do the same thing. We'll kind of catch up halfway through the season. We'll do our team draft, our future prop bets, and kind of see where we stand. Maybe we feel a little bit better than we do now, or maybe I feel a lot less optimistic midway than I do right now. But I'm feeling good personally. Things are looking good for me personally. Let's go ahead and jump to our week 6 lines, and we're going to go ahead and start with Thursday Night Football. Guys, it's something we talked about to start the year with Amazon buying rights to Thursday Night Football. It felt like there was a promise of hope for our viewing pleasure, just great Thursday Night Football games. And unfortunately, I feel like that's been incorrect. Last week, we had a early contender for stinkiest game of the year. I can't imagine anyone topping that. Broncos versus Colts with no touchdowns whatsoever, but they're going to try to do their best to top that with the 1-4 Washington Commanders getting 1 point, and they're traveling to Chicago to take on the 2-3 Bears. Over-under for this game, 38 points. What do we think about Thursday Night Football?
It's going to be a stinky one, so it's going to be a rough game. You got two just underwhelming teams, But the cool thing is, I think these teams could go back and forth. It might be a better game than you're thinking if you have money on it. So
okay.
I might lean towards the over. I don't know. I mean, I think the Washington Commanders can definitely score. The Bears can score against trash defenses like the Vikings they played last week. So maybe these teams find a way to end up 21-20. It's fun for the fans. Ends up pushing as far as the line goes, and it creeps over. But I'm going to pass this game. I'm honestly just trying to stay away from primetime games. I'm trying to stay away from London games, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Just hasn't been really working out for me in my favor. So even though I like the under and I like the Commanders teased up to 7, I'm going to go ahead and watch from the sidelines and I'll pass this game.
Yeah, I might not even watch from the sidelines. This is going to stink. Yeah, I think the only thing I'm really excited about is Brian Robinson Jr. He did come back last week from gunshot wounds. He had 9 carries, 22 yards. But I think this week he steps up. Dalvin Cook was nasty against this Bears defense last week, so I think he's going to be huge. So fantasy owners, if he is in your free agents, go ahead and pick him up. But I'm going to ultimately pass this one as well. The total is low. The spread is almost even. So, I could see this going over because a lot of money is coming in on the under right now. So I would keep an eye out on that. But other than that, no, I'm going to pass this stinker.
All right, jumping over to Sunday, we have no London games. We're back to a 1 o'clock start. And our next game, we have the 49ers at Falcons. Before getting into the line of the game, I feel like it's only right. We have to talk about it real quick. There was Falcons roughing the quarterback versus Tom Brady last week, which absolutely decimated the Falcons' comeback run. What do you guys think about that play? Did you guys see it? Is that something that's going to continue to be a story this year, or do you think that'll be the end of it?
I feel like it was a huge story for the week. Derek Carr had the same thing on that strip sack that they called back. I hope not. I feel like in the past they've overprotected the quarterback for, way too long, and now it just seems like they took another step into doing it. I'm not a huge fan. I feel like it's another way for, I don't want to say the refs to sway the game, but it seemed rather convenient in both cases. I don't know. I hope that, I think, who was it, Troy Aikman said something about take the dresses off or something. People were getting mad. I was listening to some radio. It was kind of funny, but I don't know. I hope they chill out on that. It's changing the game. It's a 15-yard penalty, and in such crucial moments that they're calling these things, I'm just not a huge fan.
I agree. It's frustrating to have fans watch and these players put their bodies on the line for that long for the whole thing to be just flipped off one poor judgment call. So unfortunately, I don't know if that's going away. I think the NFL is really trying to protect the image of, just the league in general, also trying to protect these players as well, the CTE allegations, etc. So you don't know if it's going to go away. It's definitely not going to go away for guys like Tom Brady because they benefit from him being here. So
all right, so as mentioned, we have the 49ers at Falcons. It's 3-2 49ers. They're minus 6 points. And they're going to be traveling to Atlanta to take on a 2-3 Falcons. The over-under for this game, 44.5 points. What do we think about this game?
I'm going to pass this one. The Falcons have, they've been playing really tough this year. They beat the Browns. They've made it close against the Buccaneers last week. If it weren't for that roughing the passer call, who knows? They might be a 3-2 team that a lot of people were sleeping on in the offseason. I think it's the run game more than anything. I know Cordero Patterson was out. Algier's been playing good. Caleb Huntley's been playing good. Mariota's just been controlling the game. Even without Kyle Pitts, they had a chance to win that football game. And the 49ers, I think me and Tone were talking, they're a bit banged up on the offensive line. And I don't know. I'm going to pass this one. 6 points seems like a lot on the road for the 49ers to be giving up. I know they had the big win last week, 37-15. But I can't put my money behind this one.
I can definitely understand not wanting to back the 49ers, and I'm not going to. I'm going to take the Falcons. So nice. I'll take the Falcons plus 6. Like you mentioned, the 49ers are just banged up. Nick Bosa's injured, which is a huge blow to that defense. The offensive line, who's already banged up without Trent Williams, also has some other guys that are just nicked up, and you're on your road for your second consecutive week in a row. Historically, I know the 49ers do well in that position, but I just don't know if I trust them covering 6 on the road. So I'll take Atlanta plus 6. I think they're in a good spot. If you look at who San Francisco's played this year, I don't count the first game because it was the monsoon game, but they did lose to Chicago. They beat Seattle, who's been better than we thought, but that was still early. They lost to Denver, who's trash. They beat the Rams, who are not doing very well, and they beat the Panthers, who are in shambles. So I just don't think they have enough credit to be laying six on the road, and I might eat my words, but I'll go ahead and take the Falcons. I know they've covered every week this year. They're 5-0, but maybe they get to 6-0 against the spread, so I'll take them plus six.
I like that. Love the Falcons this year against the spread. It's a great pick. Next up, we have the 3-2 New York Jets, plus 7 points. They're going to be traveling to Lambeau to take on the 3-2 Green Bay Packers. Over-under for this game is 46 points. And, guys, my question for you, the Packers are going to be returning home from England. So, as someone who likes to handicap games, does that affect your guys' decision on these games? You think it affects the players? What do you think about coming home from England for the next week?
Yeah, I don't think it helps.
Yeah, I think you have to factor it in. I mean, I generally don't want to back teams in that position because historically they don't do well. And I feel the same for this one. So, but yeah, I think you have to consider that.
All right. So Jets plus 7. What do you guys like? Do you like the Jets this week?
I think the Jets are in a really cool spot right now. I mean, the thing I'm afraid of, which is why I'm not going to take them, is because they could be in an overvalued spot. I mean, they have a couple wins in a row. They're on the road going to Lambeau Field. I would love to think they can cover that 7. And honestly, they might, because I don't think this Packers team gets a lot of margin, but who knows? Maybe their defense shows up. Offensively, they put together at home. But again, they are coming home from that London trip. So I just feel like there's uncertainty on both sides of the ball. So I'm going to go ahead and pass this game.
Yeah, so I think I'm 1-3 in teasers this year. So I think I'm just going to tease another one.
Nice.
Like Tom mentioned, it is really tough coming back from London the very next week. But they are in Lambeau Field. Jets are coming off 2 straight wins. They're on their high horses right now. So I'm going to take the Packers down to -1. I can't imagine they lose this game. I can't imagine they lose back-to-back to the Giants than the Jets, especially the way they lost last week. I think they're going to come out with a lot more fire under their asses. And I'm going to pair that with one of the rule breakers we do. It's that kind of year. I think I'm going to break some rules as far as tees go. I'm going to take the Vikings. They're actually -3. I'm going to switch it over to them getting 3.
Nice.
And when we get to that line, I'll kind of explain a little bit more why I did that.
Okay, very nice.
Thank you.
I like that. So our next game features our hometown Cleveland Browns, and the Browns are coming in this week at 2-3 in a season that really feels like they could easily be 4-1,
undefeated.
3-2,
there's no
undefeated possibly.
I agree.
So real quick before we get out the line for this one, guys, do you feel like Kevin Stefanski has officially entered the hot seat?
I don't think so. Still, I mean, I think he should be, though. I'm really just getting fed up with him, to be honest. The decisions he's making week after week that are intentionally affecting the outcome of the game is ridiculous. I don't think he's at that point yet. If we lose one or two more games, so who knows? I kind of feel like until Deshaun comes back, though, he kind of might just get a pass.
Okay, true. Good
point.
Yeah,
that's a perfect point with Deshaun not being back. And Jacoby Brissett, he's been fine, but it's just like in the big time moments, he's not showing up, which you can't really expect him to. I was never really a huge Stefanski guy when he was our OC in Minnesota. I know he had that big first year. Was that his first year that they went to the playoffs, or was that his second?
I think it might have been his first.
Yes, and everyone's like, oh, do you miss him? Do you miss him? I go, well, no, not really, because it's just you're kind of seeing it now. The play calls aren't there. Nick Chubb is basically carrying this offense right now, and I don't know how you're losing when you got a guy doing what Chubb's doing, and you're not disciplined enough to finish these games off. The Chargers handed you the game by going for it on fourth down. That was the most wild play call I've ever seen, and they still couldn't get it done.
Yeah, that was a Stefanski-esque play call, and unfortunately we couldn't find a way to take advantage of it. But, yeah, another tough week for Browns. Tough week.
Browns going to be Browns.
So speaking of the Browns, we have the 2-3 New England Patriots, and they are +2.5, +3, depending on which book you're looking at. They're traveling to Cleveland to take on the 2-3 Browns. Over-under for this game, 42.5 points. What do you guys like for this game?
Yeah, I'm going to pass this one. The Patriots looked awesome last week. They shut out the number one offense in the Detroit Lions. I did that little finger things, the parentheses or the high. I don't know.
I see what you did there.
I don't know the words. But, yeah, they shut them out. And I don't know. I think this is going to be a close one, that 2.5-point spread. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, the Browns aren't going to be kicking any game-winning field goals anytime soon. This guy, Cade York, he man, he busted his nut quick.
He sucks.
Yeah, he
God damn it.
Yeah, AJ was his biggest fan, and but
so excited.
Who knows? It's I think it's just the Cleveland Browns uniform that's just made kickers not good ever since Phil Dawson. It's the Phil Dawson curse. I'm calling it right now. The PD, baby. The PDC. The Phil Dawson curse.
You hate to see it. I mean, it's ugly out there, but I'm going to ride with them this week. I'm going to take them minus 2.5. I'm going to put two units on it. I don't want to do it. I'm going against Steve Fezzik. I'm betting on the Browns, so I'm going to regret this, but it just doesn't make sense to me that this Browns team is in this position with this line. I mean, our record's ridiculous. We should be 5-0. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a Browns fan, but if you go back and look at the games we played, and our opponents haven't been fantastic, but we lost to the Jets. We are the first team to blow a lead within a 14-point lead within 2 minutes in like 2,500 contests. That's ridiculous. We lost to Atlanta. Again, we should have never lost that game. Mm-hmm. We gave up points in the first quarter, made late game mistakes.
Couldn't stop the run.
Couldn't stop the run. Then we lose to the Chargers last week. Again, giving up points. Why are we passing the ball when we have the best running back duo in the league and arguably the best offensive line? It doesn't make sense. I have people get mad or hear people get upset about Jacoby throwing that interception. Why was he put in that position?
Yeah.
I don't care. We're up 3. We can kick a field goal and be up 6. Trust our defense. It just doesn't. A lot of things we're doing doesn't make sense, but I do think we're going to head in the right direction. Someone in our organization has to step up, tell Stefanski to figure it out, and I just truly believe that we're the better team. So, you know, if we look at the Patriots and what they've done this year, I know they're coming off a win against this Lions team, but the Lions did play without DeAndre Swift, who's their best offensive weapon. I mean, if we look at who they beat the Steelers when they had the Patriots beat the Steelers when they had Mac Jones, which was cool. Now we look and they have Bailey Zappe.
Dog.
When we look at the other team, I mean, who else have they beat this year? They beat the Steelers and Detroit last week.
Yeah, they're 2-3.
So they've only won 2 games. They lost to Miami, Baltimore, and Green Bay. I think the Browns are just in the same caliber as those teams. We just have to execute at the end. If we were 5-0 right now, this line would probably be closer to a touchdown or around a touchdown. I think 2.5 points is too much. I know you have Bill Belichick. I know you have the Patriots, but I'm hoping this Browns home team, home crowd, can get them to cover this spread. So I'm going to take them minus 2.5, 2 units.
Love it.
Love it. Love to see it. They pushed last week, so that's cool.
There's that's cool. The line closed at 1, though, so they didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's why like they should have won that damn game.
Should have. No talking points on this next game. It's a little bit of a snoozer, but we have the 2-3 Jacksonville Jaguars plus 2 points. Traveling to Indy to take on the 2-2-1 Colts. Over-under for this game, 42 points. Any takes on this game, boys?
I'm going to pass this game. I really love to tease Jacksonville up to 8 points versus Colts team, but I just can't do it. I'm going to stay away. Jacksonville was stinky last week, so I do think they'll have a bounce back. Jonathan Taylor could play this week, which drastically changes that Colts offense, and they are at home. So I'm going to go ahead and pass this game.
I'm also going to pass this stinker. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he's had a couple good weeks. He hasn't really shown out. I mean, scoring 6 points at home against Houston, very odd.
Yikes.
The Colts didn't score a touchdown last week, still managed to win the football game. Obviously, if Jonathan Taylor plays, it's a huge difference. But since week one, he really hasn't done much. So, I don't know. I still think Michael Pittman Jr. is top 20 receiver in the league right now. If Matt Ryan could get him the ball, that'd be great. I think Paris Campbell should get more touches. I'm not just trying to say that because I'm an Akron kid, an Ohio State guy. And, I'm going to go ahead and pass this one. Plus 2 makes a lot of sense to me. Maybe if you were looking for action on this, tease Jacksonville up to 8 because I don't think the Colts can beat anybody by more than a touchdown right now. But, yeah, give me a big old pass.
All right. Next up, we have a big game for the Canavan household. We have the 4-1 Minnesota Vikings minus 3, and they're taking on a 3-2 Miami Dolphins over under 46.5 points. Nate, this is your team versus your old man's team, I believe.
Yeah, actually, my whole family's team.
Yeah.
My two older brothers, my pops.
Okay.
I just kind of I went away from the trend there. I saw this guy named Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper, Michael Bennett, Chris Carter, all these guys, and I've been hooked since. So Obviously, I do have a tease on this one. I flipped the Vikings 3-3. And I did that because the uncertainty with the Miami Dolphins quarterback situation. Also, Dalvin Cook, his first game in his hometown.
Okay.
Since being drafted.
Interesting.
And the Vikings haven't beat Miami in Miami since 1976.
Mm. Wow.
And okay. I think this is the week. If it's not, that makes sense too. But the Dolphins aren't going to beat them by more than a field goal. There is not a chance in the world.
Okay. I like it. Tom, what do you think?
I look at that line. It is kind of fishy. I want to take the Vikings -3. I think I'm going to pivot away from it. I'm going to take Miami team total over 20.5. So I know they're starting at the third string quarterback. They're coming off this embarrassing divisional loss. I think they're in a bounce back spot. They're at home versus Vikings team, who, in my opinion, could be the weakest defense they've faced so far this year. So I know they're without Tua. I know they're without Bridgewater, but I'm asking for 21 points. They still have offensive weapons. Their defense could put them in a position to, excel on the offensive side as well. But again, look at the Miami Dolphins. They played New England, Baltimore, Buffalo, the Bengals, New York, who's been tougher. They haven't had, an ideal start when you factor in having the Tua and the Bridgewater injuries. So I think they can score 21 at home in a bounce back spot. So I'll take the Miami Dolphins team total over 20.5.
Oh, real quick, I do have 2 units on that teaser, if we can put that in there. 2-unit teaser.
2-unit teaser.
I've been losing them so much, I figure I'd just shave a couple units off my totals.
All right, we have a 2-unit teaser play. Next up on our list of lines, we got a really intriguing game here. We have the Bengals, who are 2-3, and I got to believe this is a must-win game for the Bengals in the AFC North. And they're going to be traveling to New Orleans to take on Andy Dalton in the New Orleans
Jameis
Saints.
Jameis not back yet?
Not yet. Okay. Andy Dalton's slated to start this game. Possible revenge game. Taysom Hill's coming off a wild game that was featured in our What Did He Say question. Bengals are -2. Over-under is 43 points. That could change if Jameis does end up coming back, but right now it's Andy Dalton. What do you guys think about this game?
I think this game's going to be closer than we think, honestly. I'm really trying to stay away from teasers, so I'm not going to touch this game, but I would tease the Saints up to +8 at home. I know that you're without Jameis Winston, but what they're doing offensively with Taysom Hill, Andy Dalton, they're kind of figuring out Alvin Kamara's back. Defensively, they're always tough. It's hard to go on the road and win. The Bengals had T. Higgins, I don't know what's up with his ankle. He didn't really play last week. I think he played one snap.
Big bomb.
Ja'Marr Chase doesn't look as good. Joe Burrow shook. We saw that clip of someone coughed and Joe Burrow almost passed out. So
he's seeing ghosts.
It was scary. I'm talking myself into it. I'm going to do one teaser. Why not?
No,
I wanted to do one. I'm probably going to – I always lose when I do this, so feel free to fade me fully. But I'm going to tease the Saints up to +8. And I'm going to disclose the other leg of my teaser at a later time. But I'm going to take the Saints up to +8 at home versus the Bengals.
All right, make sure you stay tuned for that. Personally, I'm going to pass this one. I'm seeing a couple 2-3 teams that I drafted on my top 8 teams. I'm pretty sure there are 2 of my top 4 teams that I drafted, including the Colts, which I don't know what the hell. I mean, it's just hindsight is a funny thing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pass it. I'm going to win one and lose one either way. If they end up tying, then I guess fuck me, right? Sorry. But the Saints have Alvin Kamara. I think he's completely 100%. Michael Thomas should be back. Should be a fun game. I don't know. I kind of want the Saints to win just so the Bengals don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's need it.
Yeah, I need it. I'd rather not get a reward than get a punishment. I meant that.
Trust me. I agree full-heartedly. Definitely. Yeah, shout out to T. Higgins. I had a two-leg prop bet for him last week for yards and catches, and he just decided he just wasn't going to play after the first quarter. So that was really cool. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I got the same thing with Darren Waller. I needed him to score like 10 points to win so I wouldn't lose all my games. So thank you, Darren Waller. Thank you, T. Higgins. We really appreciate your guys' effort.
Love to see it. Appreciate it. Next up, the Giants are coming off of a really huge morale-boosting win, I guess you could say, versus Aaron Rodgers and the Packers last week in England. And their prize this week, going up against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Congratulations. But before jumping into the line of this game, I wanted to ask you guys, 5 weeks in the books, You know, we see what Daboll is doing with the Giants. Is he, or if not, who is your NFL Coach of the Year thus far?
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. Either him or, I mean, I know a lot of people are going to hate Mike McCarthy. With them losing Dak Prescott, to have them playing at a 4-1 level. I don't hate Kevin O'Connell in that spot.
Sirianni.
Why not Nick Sirianni?
It's tough. I think all those guys are really good candidates. I'm sure when we do our next
all
quarterly.
All newer coaches, too, for the most part.
What's that?
They're all like newer coaches, which is really interesting. You'd like to see that, the new wave.
Yeah, and it's hard to go against Andy Reid still. And
true.
But, no, I think right now I'd say either Mike McCarthy, Daboll, or Sirianni would be the top three candidates. I'm sure that's pretty close to what
all
the
odds
are.
All in the same division, too.
Yeah, that is wild. How fun is that?
Hmm. Okay. So we have the 3-2 Baltimore Ravens, and they are -5 points going on the road to take on the 4-1 New York Giants. Over-under for this game, 45 points.
I think that's me. So I do have a play. Something else that I haven't been really good at is team totals this year. So I'm going to – or not team totals, I'm sorry, but the overs. Over-unders, sorry. And I'm going to take the over in this one. It's 45. I know the Ravens are going to allow 10 to 14 points in the fourth quarter alone, so I'm chalking up for that. I'm sure they're going to have a hot start against a Giants team that's just coming back from London. And I also see I know it's a weird kind of thing that I looked at, but Saquon's projected like 24 fantasy points this week, so I'm seeing a couple touchdowns there. I'm seeing like a 28-24 Ravens win, and I think it's a comfortable over, kind of like that Browns-Chargers game last week. That was super cozy to watch for me.
No sweat.
Not a drop.
Very nice. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make this the second leg of my teaser. Oh. So I hate to do it. I'm going to go through the zero, but I'm going to take the Ravens +1. I hate to go against a home dog, but I have to back the Ravens. I'm shocked that this New York Giants team is 4-1. I don't think there's any way they're better than the Ravens. We've looked at the Ravens in the games they've lost. They could easily be 4-1, 5-0 themselves. So I think they're the better team. We have this New York Giants team who's banged up. They're coming back from London. And honestly, it's kind of like they won their Super Bowl. They came back, beat the Packers.
Yeah.
Super pumped about it. And I don't blame them. But Saquon is banged up with that shoulder injury. Their wide receiver core is still trashed or gutted. The Ravens are continuing to get healthy. I mean, they lost to Miami and Buffalo, who they both could have beat. But I think they, again, could be a way better team than we're thinking they are. So we have the Giants who have a better record than the Ravens, but I still think the Ravens are better. So I will take the Ravens just to win. They can lose by one, I guess, although I'd push. But I'll take them as a second leg of my teaser with the Saints +8.
Love it.
All right. The Pittsburgh Steelers are coming off of a week 5 just pummel, and they really let me down personally. I gave out a Steelers +14 pick. It was my one pick of the year. I really love that play, and man, did they let me down. So before this next line, never thought I would ask this, but are the Steelers in the conversation for worst teams in the NFL?
It's hard not to put them there. I mean, I wouldn't. I still like Mike Tomlin. I think the whole quarterback situation's a mess. But yeah, I'd say top 7 worst.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not great. But unfortunately, you lose one of the best defensive players in the league, and T.J. Watt. I think they're ascending. It's going to take some time, but they could. Maybe I'll say they could ascend.
Okay.
With Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
George Pickens is starting to come around. But Najee's been underwhelming.
Yeah.
The offensive line's been so-so. And I just think it's tough when you lose such a vocal leader on your team. So they are probably towards the bottom, but we'll see how they end up shaking out.
Okay, well, let's see how they do this week. We have the 3-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are -9 points. And they're going to be traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the 1-4 Steelers. Over-under for this game, 44 points.
Yeah, I'm going to pass this game. It's just the Buccaneers, I don't know. Offensively, they've had a couple good games, I guess. I mean, against the Chiefs, who are not very good at all on defense, they did pretty good. I think they put up, you know, 30-something points. The Steelers, it may follow the same suit. So I want to take the Steelers as a dog at home, +9. I mean, Mike Tomlin just in a rah-rah spot, but
sure.
I can't do it. I'm going to go ahead and pass this game, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'll take that rah-rah spot. I'm going to avenge our guy, AJ. I'm going to take the Steelers getting that 9 points.
Let's go.
Buccaneers are extremely underwhelming. Tom Brady has not been great whatsoever. I think this is a perfect spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers at home to bounce back. Not to win the game, but I think they'll lose by around a touchdown, maybe 4 points. 9 is a lot on the road, especially with a Buccaneers team that hasn't really done much. They could have lost to the Falcons last week, so... yeah, give me the Steelers plus 9.
2-unit play, too.
No.
No. Okay, 1 unit. Okay. No, I appreciate that. Thanks for having my back, brother.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump to our 4:30 games. And rough week for any of our Panthers fans out there. Mm. Prayers to the Panthers fans. Head coach Matt Rhule fired. Quarterback 1, Baker Mayfield, out for at least 3 games with an ankle injury. Oof. CMC, there's rumors that he's unhappy and he's possibly asking to be traded. We'll see what comes out of that. I know you guys personally, you love when a head coach gets fired. You think that throws some motivation, some fire in the locker room. So we're going to see if Carolina can bounce back this week versus the just disappointing Rams thus far. So Panthers are getting plus 10.5 points on the road, going to LA to take on the Rams. Over-under for this game is 41 points. What do you guys think about this game?
It's going to be a hard pass for me. Matthew Stafford has numbers similar to Matt Ryan right now, and they're not good. I feel like all they do on offense is throw the ball to Cooper Kupp. They don't even look in Allen Robinson's direction. It's not like he's not open. Tyler Higbee has gotten some receptions, which is huge. Cam Akers hasn't. The run game overall hasn't done much of anything. And 10.5 for a 2-3 team, I mean, it's a lot of points, but I don't want any part of it. I know the Panthers stink, but who knows? P.J. Walker, he could provide a spark for this offense.
Yeah, it's just really a tough matchup. I mean, I don't see how this Rams team has any business laying double digits to anyone this season. I know the Carolina Panthers are pathetic, but they did fire their head coach. They fired their defensive coordinator.
You love that.
I just feel like they're going to be motivated.
Let's do it.
Like historically. Do it.
Come on.
These teams do well in this position.
They do.
So give me the Panthers.
Hey,
plus 10.5.
Let's go.
I mean, they're defensively, they've been solid. Their defensive line's been good. I feel like they should have a fun day with this Rams offensive line.
PJ looked good last week coming in.
PJ Walker might end up being the starter this week. That might be an upgrade from Baker at this point. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can win this game, but damn it, I think they're going to play hard.
Let's go.
And try to keep it close. God forbid Cooper Kupp goes down, because
mm-hmm. right.
I mean, that's all this Rams offense seems to have. Yeah. Unfortunately, Cam Akers doesn't look like himself coming off the injury.
Trash.
Henderson hasn't looked great. Stafford's leading the league, tied with Matt Ryan, actually, with 7 interceptions through the first 5 games. So just not looking good. I'm hoping that the Panthers can bounce back with the head coaching change, possibly quarterback change, and at least cover the spread. So I'll take them plus 10.5.
All right. Love to see it. Okay. And real quick, before jumping to this next game, this is completely just a rumor that I saw from a very non-legitimate source, but I did see Christian McCaffrey asking to be traded to the Buffalo Bills. That would be disgusting.
Almost
if
unfair.
If that were to happen. So
wild.
Just keep a little tiny eye on that. And if it does happen, then you heard it here first. If it didn't happen, then forget it was mentioned. But next up, no talking points for this game. It's a no interest game for me personally. We have the 2-3 Arizona Cardinals minus 3 points traveling to Seattle to take on the 2-3 Seahawks. Over-under for this game, 51 points.
This is going to be another game that I'm going to have to pass. Honestly, I might lean towards the Seahawks. I feel like offensively, I never thought I'd say this, but they've been really efficient. Geno Smith has been a top 10 quarterback.
Dog.
DK Metcalf has been tough. Tyler Lockett's been really tough. They're figuring it out. They did lose Rashad Penny, which is a blow, but now you have the rookie Ken Walker who can step up, and he might just fill that void right up. So I'm going to pass this game. If I had to pick one in this divisional matchup, I'd lean towards the Seahawks. I'm underwhelmed with the Cardinals.
Yeah, trash.
They did cover on the road last week versus the Eagles, but I just can't rock with them.
Trash-ass team.
I'll go ahead and pass this game, but I would lean towards the Seahawks.
Yeah, I don't really have a play as far as the spread goes, but I'm going to take the over 51. I know it's a high total, but Tone mentioned Geno Smith. I mean, they're scoring points at a high clip, and I expect Kyler Murray to have a better week than he's had. Rondale Moore's healthy.
Can't play worse.
Yeah, you can't really play all that worse. They could. They were in a spot to win that game. Yeah, and I don't know if Eno Benjamin's coming back or not, but I think he's a huge asset to this team. I mentioned him in our sleepers for fantasy, and I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. More points scored than the Buffalo Bills Kansas City Chiefs game, which I think it's going to be an absolute shootout. So give me that over 51.
Okay. Well, speaking of the Bills and Chiefs, that's next up on our list. And for me personally, it's got to be AJ the Moderator's game of the week. Mm-hmm. Possibly the game of the year contender. Last time these two met, last year in the divisional round playoffs, and the Chiefs won 42-36 in overtime. I would say it was probably the game of the year last year.
Probably one of the best playoff games in NFL history.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're possibly I know Philly's undefeated. I get that. And I know that we had them really high up on our power rankings last week, but we're looking at potentially the two best teams in NFL facing off next week.
And the Vikings.
Vikings. Buffalo Bills -3, heading to Kansas City to take on the 4-1 Chiefs. Over-under for this game, 54 points. Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. Someone in this game is going to win MVP. Someone in this game is probably going to win the Super Bowl. That's just me personally. What do you guys think about this game?
Oh, it's my turn. Yeah, I think I'm going to pass this one. This is a perfect game to watch as a fan. This is one of those games where you need action on it. You're just going to enjoy it from your couch. I hope they put it on national TV. I don't know why they won it, but it's going to be an absolute fun game to watch. It could be a little – I mean, 54 is a ton of points for an NFL game, but obviously
last year – college game.
Right, it seems like it. So I hope it goes over. I hope they both drop a 50 bomb. I think that'd be awesome, especially for some fantasy teams out there. But, this is definitely a watch from home, enjoy, chill. It's your Sunday evening going to Sunday Night Football. Yeah. Have a couple beers and just chill out. Like yeah, that. Very fun game to watch.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. I mean, you just got to love it. This is two of the better offenses, okay defenses, but it's just going to be a shootout. You got two of the younger quarterbacks that are entering their prime, if not in their prime, and they're becoming the faces of the NFL. So I want to pass this game, but there's one stat I can't ignore. I'm going to rock with it. It's probably going to be a loser because you're playing the Buffalo Bills. But give me the Chiefs +3 as a home dog.
Wow.
Under Patrick Mahomes, they're 7-0-1 against the spread. Again, if it's not broken, don't fix it. They might end up going 7-1-1 after this game, but I got to take those 3 points at home with the Chiefs. So I'll take them +3.
Chiefs can't cover. We're going with them, though. Yeah. Chiefs +3.
Season 1.
Okay, okay.
LCP season 1.
I like that. I like what you said, Nate. As far as you guys really... You guys turn me into a sick human. I really have a hard time watching the game unless I have some action on it, personally. But the cool thing about this game is you don't have to have action on it. You can literally just enjoy this game. So that's a great point. My question for you guys, 15 years. We saw how long Tom Brady's went, so we know that's possible. Aaron Rodgers is going for quite a while. 15 years, you have to pick between one of the two. Who would you choose, Pat or Josh Allen?
Oh, man, that's tough. I feel like Mahomes still gets a lot of shade. I don't know why. But I want Josh Allen. I love his build. I love his energy, especially with Bills Mafia behind him. I don't know. It's close. It's not like, Josh Allen all day. I just, by a slim margin, I want Josh Allen on my football team.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree. I mean, he said his build, he can run the ball. He's always getting it on 3rd and 1.
Easy.
Period. Rock solid.
He can throw it. He throws darts. Just, Mahomes is awesome, too. They're both, generational type talents. I'm sure they'll both be Hall of Famers. It's a pleasure to watch both of them, but damn it, I would have to take Josh Allen.
Yeah, we're extremely lucky to be watching these guys.
Not, like, counting accolades and, like, career. Obviously, Tom's the GOAT, but are these the two top current quarterbacks in the league right now?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd say.
Okay, cool. Well, pumped for that game. That's going to be the game that I'm like most excited about. Let's go ahead and jump to Sunday Night Football, another possible Game of the Week contender. It's the 4-1 Dallas Cowboys. They're +6 points, and they're traveling to Philly to take on the 5-0 Eagles. Over for this game, 42 points.
I'm going to go ahead and pass this game. This should be a really good divisional matchup as well, honestly. I really like the Eagles. They opened up, I believe, 4, went to 4.5. I woke up today, it was at 6. So I'm going to pass. I love the Eagles at 4, 4.5. I just don't think Cooper Rush can continue to keep covering the spread. I mean, last week I faded the Cowboys because of this. The Cowboys defense came out, blocked punts, turnovers in the red zone. Like, they're just so good. This week they'll be playing the best offensive line they face all year. It's going to be a little different. Philly can bring it on both sides of the ball. They're at home. It's a divisional matchup. I definitely think Philly should win this game. I love them at 4. If you can tease them down to pick them at this point, I like that. But I'm going to go ahead and pass.
Oh, yeah. The environment's going to be absolutely nuts in Philadelphia, especially with a 4-1 Cowboys coming in. I'm going to pass personally. It's just another fun game to watch.
Yeah.
You never expect the Dallas Cowboys, when Dak Prescott went down, to be 4-1 right now. Not a chance, especially. And then the Eagles, 5-0. I feel like their loss is coming soon, but not this week.
Okay.
So I'm going to pass. Fun game to watch. And the NLOD hasn't been dropped yet. So
Stay tuned. Ooh. Okay. Well, with that being said, we have one more game left on the slate. And unfortunately, you know, I love Denver. I know my guy Dise loves Denver. But unfortunately for us and for you guys, Denver is once again back on primetime NFL.
Fourth time in 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's been rough as a fan. It's been rough as a viewer. But, I mean, at some point they got to figure it out, I hope. Hopefully they get more than just field goals this week. We have the 2-3 Denver Broncos, +5 on the road. They're going to Los Angeles, take on the 3-2 Chargers. Over-under for Monday Night Football, 45.5 points. Do we have an NLOD this week?
We do. 3-unit play. Give me the Broncos getting that 5 points on the
road.
And that's a big one.
Wow.
Chargers could have very, very easily lost their last two games against the Browns, and even the Texans they let come back in the game. A lot of shade's been thrown to Russell Wilson. Memes all over the place.
Okay.
A lot of hate towards them. And I think this is a game they can go out and win on the road. I think they need to win this one on the road. Yeah, give me the Broncos.
Broncos country. Let's fucking ride.
Yeah, let's ride. NLOD, 3 units.
Let's go.
That should be an absolute lock.
Let's fucking ride.
And I don't know. I can see that line going down to 4 before the kickoff.
Hell yeah. I'm just going to let you rock it. So I'm going to pass this game, and we'll root for the Broncos.
All right. Love to hear it. Love to see it. Let's fucking go, baby.
All right.
So if you're listening and you may have noticed we are a few games short, that's because this is the first NFL week and the first bye week.
Bad time to have a bye.
Teams on bye: Detroit Lions, Las Vegas Raiders, Tennessee Titans, and the Houston Texans. Those are our 4 teams on bye. When you hear those 4 team names, are there any of those teams that you feel optimistic about that really needed that bye, or is there a team that you just think sucks, it doesn't matter? What do you guys think about our 4 teams on bye this week?
I think the Raiders needed it desperately after that loss.
Yeah, I would say the Raiders needed it mentally. I think the Lions need it physically, so both those teams probably could benefit from it.
All right. All right, boys, so let's go ahead and recap our picks for week 6. Nate, I'm going to throw it to you first. What do you got, my guy?
I only have 5 plays this week, 1 teaser, 4 single bets, but I still have 8 units on the board, so definitely a lot of units that come in play. I have a teaser, the 2-team teaser, the Packers down to -1, and the Vikings flipped over to getting 3 points. I put 2 units on that. I got the Ravens-Giants over 45. I got AJ the Moderator's lock of the year, Steelers getting 9 points, just 1 unit. I got the Cardinals-Seahawks over 51, and then the Broncos +5. That's a 3-unit NLOD of the week.
Very nice. I have 6 plays. I have 1 teaser, 5 straight bets. I have Atlanta +6, Cleveland -2.5, 2 units, Miami team total over 20.5, a teaser of the Saints +8 with the Ravens +1, the Panthers +10.5, and the Chiefs +3.
All right, and unfortunately for our listeners, we have no luck at ends this week, but another week of no head-to-head. So for the most part, you guys have been on par as far as agreement or passing. I'm still waiting for our first head-to-head of 2022. Possibly next week we'll have one. We'll see. But now that our games are thrown out there, our picks have been chosen, Let's jump to our NFL DraftKings for week 6. Nate, you want to go ahead and kick us off with your QB1?
Yeah, sure. Why not? And I'm going to go ahead and go with Lamar Jackson. He's 8,100. He's going to score points. It's inevitable. He's playing against this Giants team just coming back from London. And I think I got a really good 1-2 punch as far as my quarterback. And you'll see who else I have later.
Alrighty, with mine, I got to go with arguably the best quarterback in the league. Give me Josh Allen, 8.2K. I just feel like there's going to be points to be scored versus Kansas City defense and just in this matchup in general. So I will take Josh Allen, 8.2.
I love it. So if you'll notice, my wide receivers are super cheap and super trash this week. I'm just trying a new strat. It's been tough in DraftKings this year. So with my RB1, I got Jonathan Taylor. I expect him to come back against this Jacksonville defense, which I'm not all that impressed with. I feel like he needs that week to really break through and really get this season going. He hasn't really done much since week one, coming off injury, 8,000. I'll spend my money. Give me Jonathan Taylor.
That's interesting you say that, because I do feel like I've been kind of trying to shift my DraftKings. Last year, I felt like it was worth it to get a cheaper quarterback, cheaper running backs, and load up on the wide receivers.
Right.
Cheap tight end, cheap defense, etc. I feel like it's shifting. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like quarterbacks are becoming more valuable. The top guys, they're scoring a lot of points, and so are the running backs. If you can get some of those top running backs, they're really scoring points, and it makes a difference. So I've been trying to kind of shift my philosophy because it has been tough to start the year, and that's the thing you got to do with the DraftKings and the betting in general. Everything's always changing, so try to update yourself. That being said, with my first running back, I didn't do it this week.
Oh, nice.
But I'm trying to get value with this guy because Damian Harris is now hurt. So give me a Ramondre Stevenson, nice. 6K, versus Cleveland defense, who definitely can give up the run, can give up a touchdown or two. So I'll take him for 6K.
We've definitely seen him give up the run, and Ramondre went off last week. So great pick at 6K. That's a real good value right there. So, yeah, I went really high on my running backs. For my RB2, it's Saquon Barkley, 7,700. I said early in the show he was projected like 24 points. He did get hurt, but he still managed to drop, 18 fantasy points last week. I know he's healthy. He came back in the game last week. He'll be back this week, and they're going to need him against Baltimore.
Very nice. I have him on my fantasy team, so I'm definitely rooting for that. He's been solid. He's back.
Yes,
Saquon. I mean, knock on wood. It's early, but he's back. You love to see
it. Saquad, baby. Those things are working.
Yes. With my second running back, I'm going to take another value guy, but this is because Rashad Penny's out. Give me Ken Walker III.
Nice.
He's 5.4K. This Seattle offense can score. They can move the ball. Didn't think I'd say it to start the year, but it's true. So I'll take him 5.4K, and hopefully there's some value there.
Yeah, so this where it gets a little ugly for me. My wide receiver one is George Pickens, 4,600, way down there. That's number one. I know it's a new strategy. You gotta try something new. If you don't, I mean, what do they say? The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over, trying expect something different. So,
okay.
Give me George Pickens. I do have the Steelers +9 against Tampa Bay. I can imagine they're going to score some points. I know that Tampa Bay defense is stingy, but he's been getting a lot more targets as the season goes on, and he's proven to be, I think he's better than Deontay. So, yeah, stay tuned for George Pickens this week.
Luck it in.
Ooh.
Give me George Pickens, although he's my flex. I have him my flex. But, yeah, he's been getting a ton of targets. I mean, to start the year, he was a little rocky, but if you go back to the last two games, last three games, he's gotten 8, 8, and 7 targets. He's really putting together a nice resume to start the year. So I will take George Pickens for my flex, 4.6K.
Love that. So for my wide receiver too, it's a little cheaper. KJ Osborne, 4,300. He's the Vikings slot receiver. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of attention on Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen against Miami this week. And I think he sneaks through. I think he gets a touchdown, maybe 4 or 5 catches. Not looking for a ton out of him, just a real solid week. So give me KJ Osborne at 4,300.
Very nice. With my wide receiver one, give me Stephon Diggs, 8.4K. I'm going to go ahead and pair him with Josh Allen. I just feel like these two can definitely get off versus Kansas City Chiefs defense, and I like their position. So I will take Stephon Diggs for 8.4K.
Yeah, right on. So for my wide receiver three, he's questionable this week, but I expect him to play. It's Nelson Aguilar against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland likes to give up big touchdowns. Mike Williams went off last week, and it's hard to know who wide receiver one is. I know Jacoby Myers went off last week. It was Devontae Parker another week. I think it's Nelson's week this week, so give me Nelson Aguilar at 3,800.
There you go. With my our wide receiver two, I'll take Amari Cooper, 5.9K. I'm just hoping he can continue to get involved in this Cleveland offense. I mean, he is coming off some pretty solid fantasy teams or fantasy points. If you look at three out of the 5 weeks so far, he has over 20 points. So I think for 5.9K, he's still undervalued. Who knows how he'll get used this week, but I'll give it a chance. So I'll take Amari Cooper, 5.9.
Love that. So here's where all my money's going. My tight end had to pair him with Lamar Jackson. It's almost impossible not to. It's Mark Andrews. He's 7,000. So my running backs are expensive. My quarterback's expensive. And my tight end's expensive. So at 7,000, I still think that's a steal. He's getting over almost 20 points a week every week. So give me Mark Andrews.
That fits perfectly into the strat I was describing. So yeah, that's interesting. Hopefully it works out.
Fingers crossed.
With my third wide receiver, I'll take Christian Kirk. He's 5.8K versus Indianapolis Colts defense. He really hasn't done that much the last couple games. He started off really hot. But if we do go back to week two, he played this Colts defense, and he scored 25.8 points. Ooh. I'm hoping he can get back to that point, and this offense can get rolling. So for 5.8K, I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, I dig that. So for my flex, I'm going with David Njoku. He's been getting a ton of targets from Jacoby Brissett. It seems like he's one of his favorite targets. So he's only 4,000, and for my flex, I need someone who's going to catch the ball and give me some points. So David Njoku at 4,000.
I like that. He's led the Cleveland offense in passing or reception yards the last 2 weeks. So
love
very
it.
Cool.
One of DJ's guys, too.
Very nice. With my tight end, I'm going to take Hayden Hurst. He's 3.3K. He really has been coming along. I mean, he had 17.3 points last game, 11.7 before that. He's starting to get some targets here. He had 7-4, 7 the other week. I think he has potential. It could be a hit or miss guy, but I'll take a chance with him for 3.3K.
Like ABBA, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance. Don't sue us. So for my defense, I went low. I went the tone strat. I got the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tom Brady hasn't done much. They're only 2,400. I think this still is their strong point without TJ Watt. I know they looked awful against Buffalo, but I feel like, I mean, it's just like a 14-point spread, and I don't know. The game got away from them quick, early, and I think they keep them in it this week. So give me the Steelers defense, 2,400.
I'm going to also go to the bottom of the barrel, but give me the Panthers defense.
Oh, nice.
They're 2.4K. This Rams team, I mean, they're towards the bottom third of the league as far as overall yards goes, scoring goes, etc. They're just underwhelming. Again, their offensive line's in shambles. I think the Panthers can find a way defensively to keep them at bay. So I'll take them for 2.4.
Love it. Just recap.
Yeah, go ahead, recap.
Quick, so for my quarterback, I got Lamar Jackson. He is 8,100. My running back, I got Jonathan Taylor at 8,000. Saquon Barkley at 7,700. Then for my receivers, I got George Pickens at 4,600. KJ Osborne at 4,300. Who did I have? Oh, Nelson Aguilar at 3,800. Mark Andrews at 7,000. David Njoku at 4,000. And the Steelers defense at 2,400.
All righty. I have Josh Allen at quarterback, 8.2. Ramondre Stevenson, 6,000. Ken Walker, 5.4K. Stephon Diggs, 8.4K. Amari Cooper, 5.9K. Christian Kirk, 5.8. Hayden Hurst, 3.3 as my tight end. George Pickens as my flex, 4.6. And the Panthers as my defense, 2.4.
Love it. All right, now we can press it.
What did he say? All right. I mentioned Taysom Hill as tight end having four touchdowns, and also Travis Kelce having four touchdowns in one game. So our what did he say question of the week is, who is the only tight end in NFL history to have five touchdowns in one game?
Literally have no clue.
You want to guess first?
I don't even know what quarterback is capable of that.
Also, it's lifetime. Not just within the last 10 years.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah, dude, our odds are
I'm going to guess Dallas Clark.
You know what? I was going to guess Dallas Clark. I was thinking him, too.
Peyton Manning guy?
Yeah. I'm going to go with arguably one of the best tight ends of all time, if not the – I'm going to go Tony Gonzalez. So Tony Gonzalez. I don't know. I feel like those might be a little too obvious. AJ said it was a tough one. Maybe it's one of those, like, weird names, like Moali Cox might have got it, or just something wild. So go ahead, tell us we're wrong, and we'll go cry tonight.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, you guys are wrong. So you say it's going to tie it up 3-3. He went a little trill on this one, but that's okay.
Can
that's...
you give us a clue and see if we would get it?
Sure.
This doesn't obviously
sure,
it
doesn't
lost.
Count. I can give I can give you a hint though. You might not know the answer to this question, but you would know his son.
Oh, it was Kellen Winslow.
Kellen
Sr.
Winslow, yeah. Makes sense.
Kellen Winslow Sr.
There you go.
He had 13 catches, 144 yards, 5 touchdowns in a game.
Wow.
That's almost a 60-bomb fantasy point.
Yeah, yeah. That's what was impressive, because Kelsey only had, like, what, 25 yards?
Yeah, that was weird.
That is weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's fair.
That was a good one.
Shout
out D-Say.
That was a good
one. Shout out to our guy, D-Say, for doing his thing.
What did he say?
If you answered it right at home, then you're probably lying, so... That's a thing.
True. And again, that's been posted on TikTok. So obviously, you know the answer now, but make sure that you're following along on TikTok and Nate, you know, all of our socials. Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, we'll just kind of wrap it up here. If you haven't yet, check us out on all our social medias. We've been really into TikTok lately, Luck Changers Podcast. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter,
OnlyFans.
Yeah, soon to be OnlyFans. Just let us know what you want to see. We'll show it. Yeah, so all of that at Luck Changers Podcast. We still have an email, luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions about a line, what a line is, and over under, what that even is, or any fantasy questions. Now that football's back, Tone's been killing it in fantasy football. Yeah. I've been struggling, so I probably won't answer those. But yeah, just any interaction is good interaction. We'll shout you out on the show every time. So obviously, we appreciate you guys if you're still hanging on and listening. If you haven't yet, go ahead and check out us on social media. I already said that. I always ruin the outro, so let's see if I get it right. For your host, Nate, co-host, Tone, moderator, AJ, shout out, D-Say, we are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Adios.
Peace out.
Peace, I'm out of here.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.